Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 26, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks overseas track losses on Wall Street as investors weigh the latest from Fed officials.
U.S. chipmakers resume selling to Huawei after finding ways to work around the White House ban.
The CEO of FedEx pushes back against the Trump administration's trade policies.
Special counsel Robert Mueller agrees to testify in public before two House committees. Plus, the House approves border funds. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays. They broke the record for consecutive games with at least one home run. The Mets blew a lead, lost in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia are lower after yesterday's nearly 1% loss for the S&P 500. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points, Dow futures up 36, NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is little changed. So is the FTSE 100, while the CAC in Paris is down about a tenth of a percent. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.00%. The yield on the 2-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% or 90 cents. At $58.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is down a third of a percent, down $4.80 to $14.1390 an ounce. The euro 1.1361 against the dollar, and the yen 107.45. Nathan.
Karen, we're getting a better picture of how talks between Presidents Donald Trump and Xi Jinping may shake out at the G20 summit this Saturday. Bloomberg News has learned the White House is willing to delay additional tariffs on Chinese goods ahead of the meeting. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Sarah McGregor.
President Trump is willing to delay, at least hold off on imposing tariffs on additional $300 billion of Chinese goods because China said it would not come to the table. President Xi would not meet Trump at the G20 unless the U.S. agreed to it. That's what our sources are telling us. That's a huge sort of concession in a way from the U.S. side. You know, a little bit of good news, but we're still at a bit of a standstill.
The decision to suspend the next round of tariffs is still under consideration, but may be announced after the meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi in Osaka.
Meanwhile, U.S. companies may have a way to skirt the U.S. ban on Huawei. Micron Technology and Intel are among those finding legal ways to work around the Trump administration blacklisting the Chinese telecom company. It's garnering lots of attention in Shanghai, where the Mobile World Congress kicks off today. Bloomberg's Selena Wang is there.
We're just hearing from Micron CEO, in fact, that they actually have started to resume some of its shipments to Huawei. However, the CEO is still incredibly concerned that they could be cut off from the biggest market. So even if these topics aren't discussed publicly, they'll certainly be a big topic of discussion behind the scenes.
And Micron started shipping some components to Huawei after its lawyers studied export restrictions. And sources tell us Intel has also begun selling to Huawei again. It's not clear how many other suppliers have done the same. Micron also reported earnings that beat estimates. Shares are up 9% in early trading.
FedEx is pushing back against the Trump administration's trade policy. CEO Fred Smith says the company's performance is being negatively impacted by the U.S.-China trade war.
Clearly, we've been very disappointed over the last few years with the assumptions that we made on the growth in international trade, particularly with the Trump administration.
FedEx reported earnings that topped estimates but predicted a transition year for 2020 due to concerns that international trade tensions will worsen.
Those trade tensions and downside risks to the U.S. economy have Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell making a stronger case for a rate cut.
Most central banks would want to act preemptively and not let a downturn gather steam.
Powell says many policymakers now see a stronger case for more accommodative monetary policy. One of those policymakers, St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard, who sees a high probability of a rate cut in July.
Seemed to me like this is a good chance to make an insurance rate cut and try to recenter inflation and inflation expectations back at the 2% target.
Bullard, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg Radio, calls for a cut of 25 basis points, but thinks any more than that could be too much.
Just sitting here today, I think 50 basis points would be overdone. I don't think the situation really calls for that.
Treasuries fell after Bullard played down the need for a 50 basis point cut. The St. Louis Fed president, one of the more dovish members of the central bank, says he's been approached by the White House about taking a job as a Fed governor, but is not planning to leave his current job.
The U.S. stocks fell following those remarks from Jim Bullard, and equities in Asia followed suit overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, stocks were lower in Japan, China, and Australia, while Indian equities and Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong bucked the downward trend. Japanese chipmakers and South Korea's SK Hynix rose after peer Micron said it had resumed some shipments to China's Huawei. The RBNZ left rates on hold at 1.5%, but indicated lower rates may be needed. And the Bank of Thailand left its benchmark rate at 1.75%. The baht was lower, but still holding near six-year highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Oil trading near a four-week high after a report signaling a bigger-than-forecast drop in U.S. stockpiles. The American Petroleum Institute says inventories fell by 7.5 million barrels last week. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%, up 90 cents at $58.72 a barrel. Brent is up 0.9% at $65.65.
Now, there's a big legal story we're watching this morning. U.S. prosecutors are joining a multinational crackdown on insider trading, with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York joining an international investigation. Bloomberg's Patrice Sakura reports.
Sources tell Bloomberg U.S. prosecutors are investigating an international network of traders suspected of infiltrating banks and companies to gain confidential information on mergers and acquisitions. The probe focuses on a group of stock pickers in Europe and the Middle East who've made tens of millions of dollars trading ahead of media reports on takeover talks. Investigators believe the traders communicated on encrypted apps such as Telegram, Signal, and WhatsApp, along with burner phones that they regularly changed or used on Wi-Fi networks without SIM cards. In New York, I'm Patrice Sakura, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thank you. And S&P futures are up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 61, NASDAQ futures up 27, and the 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 2.01%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has arrived to let us know what else is happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. House Democrats say special counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify publicly next month before two committees. Both panels issued subpoenas to Mueller. House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler was asked why it's important that people hear directly from Mueller.
There's been a campaign of misrepresentation by Attorney General Barr who misrepresented what was in the report by the president, who keeps saying the report found no collusion, no obstruction. That's not true either way. So it's important the American people hear from him what the report found. It's important that he answer a lot of specific questions.
The committee appearances are set for July 17th. House Democrats passed a measure calling for $4.5 billion for a border aid package to care for thousands of migrant families. Ahead of the vote, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke about conditions at one detention facility.
Today we found out that the administration is sending children back to a station in Clint, Texas, from where just days earlier those children had been removed after enduring weeks without a shower or change of clothes.
President Trump has vowed to veto the House legislation. Candidates in the crowded race for the Democratic presidential nomination will converge for their first primary debates over the next two nights. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has a preview.
These will be the names on the debate stage in Miami tonight: Booker, Castro, de Blasio, Delaney, Gabbard, Inslee, Klobuchar, O'Rourke, Ryan, and Warren. The lineups were divided randomly, split between tonight and tomorrow. Most of the top-tier candidates, Biden, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Harris, ended up on the second night's lineup, with Warren taking center stage tonight, having edged ahead of rivals with an attention-getting stream of policy proposals. It's a chance for the others to score a breakout moment, but don't blink. Dividing up each night's 2 hours means each of the candidates could end up with less than 10 minutes of speaking time. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In Queens, public defender Tiffany Caban declared victory over borough president Melinda Katz in the Democratic primary for district attorney. However, paper ballots are still being counted. Farrah Lewis won the Democratic primary for the 45th district in Brooklyn. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is proposing fare and toll hikes to help fund more than $30 billion in capital projects over the next decade. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, so much for any suspense as to whether the Yankees would hit a home run last night. Fifth pitch of the game.
It'll be a 2-2 from the tall left-hander. Swung on and into the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. And that sets the record. DJ LeMahieu, the 28th straight game in which a Yankee has homered to set a new Major League record.
WFAN, the call. Move over the 2002 Texas Rangers. Yankees have the record. LeMahieu continues his sensational season, hitting .367 in June, an 11-game hitting streak, 9 hits the last 3 games. The next batter was Aaron Judge. He homered first time in over 2 months. Next inning, Gleyber Torres' turn, his 19th of the year. And in the 8th inning, Edwin Encarnacion right down the line in right field. And that was big because the Blue Jays got a run in the 9th off Aroldis Chapman, but the Yanks held on with the 4 solo shots. They beat Toronto 4-3. They've won 10 of the last 11. Tampa Bay lost, so the Yankee AL East lead is up to 6. Day game in the Bronx today. Yanks go for the sweep. And then it's off to London to play the Red Sox this weekend. For the Mets, yet another blown lead by the bullpen, whose ERA in June is 7.5. This time, Wilmer Font came in 6th inning with a 5-2 lead, came out with a 7-5 deficit. That was the final in Philadelphia. The Phils hit 4 home runs for the second night in a row. Ahmed Rosario and Dom Smith homered for the Mets, who are now 6 games under .500. College World Series, Vanderbilt stayed alive 4-1 over Michigan. Winner tonight in Omaha wins the national championship. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, in other sports news, the Los Angeles Rams will pay $24 million to former St. Louis ticket holders to resolve claims the team misled them about its plans to move back to Southern California. Under the settlement, each ticket holder will receive 30% of the price of their personal seat license, a cash payment amounting to hundreds or thousands of dollars. The approved claims total $9.4 million. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with Wells Fargo senior economist Sarah House as the Fed sends even more signals that a rate cut could be imminent. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling in Europe and most of Asia, while U.S. stock index futures are higher as investors weigh prospects for Federal Reserve policy easing against the backdrop of threats to global growth and lingering trade tensions. Again, futures are higher a day after U.S. stocks saw their largest decline this month. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 13 points now. Dow futures up 99. NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany is now up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.1%. So some strengthening there. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds. Yield 2.01%. Yield on the 2-year 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7% or $1 to $58.83 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.40 to $14.1140 an ounce. The euro, 1.1365 against the dollar. The yen, 107.64. And today we are watching for reports on durable goods orders out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with wholesale inventories. And General Mills is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Democrats say former special counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify publicly July 17th before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees after both panels issued subpoenas to him last night. The House passed a $4.5 billion emergency border aid package to care for thousands of migrant families and unaccompanied children detained after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. It's debate night for 10 of the Democratic presidential candidates in Miami. The other 10 will debate tomorrow night. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays and set a Major League record with 28 straight games with a home run. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Giants, and the A's.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Jane Foley, head of FX strategy at Rabobank. Good to have you back on with us, Jane. Thanks for being here on this risk on morning. We are seeing some of that sentiment play out in the market this morning. At the same time, we are continuing to hear of downside risks to the overall economy from the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. So is a rate cut a foregone conclusion at this point?
Well, the market certainly seems to be thinking that way, certainly for July. And, of course, it's not just about the Federal Reserve. For instance, overnight we had a decision by New Zealand. They left interest rates unchanged, but they indicated quite strongly that they will be cutting them soon. So the market's anticipating a second cut from them for August. We've had the Australians, of course, already go this year, and the ECB. It's our view that the ECB will cut the discount rate further into negative territory in September. So this is a concerted G10 move. And what's interesting about the markets is that if you look back over the last few weeks, we have seen that some risky assets find solace, of course, in the expectation of cheap money for longer. But there's a lot of threats out there. The world growth is slowing. Talk about the U.S. recession. We've got the Iran situation. And, of course, the likelihood that the relationship between China and the U.S. will remain pretty tense, well beyond the G20 meeting this weekend. So to what extent can the central banks really push up risk appetite, given these downside risks that are all around us?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, how much of a rate cut the Fed could approve to give something more of a spur to the overall economy. There seems to be some reticence toward moving too quickly.
Well, if you look at the U.S. data, yes, certainly it has slowed. But, you know, as Bullard pointed out yesterday, and, of course, he is one of the Fed's doves, he indicated that, 2% growth is not all that bad yet. So the Fed has got to react to the economic data that they see. And in terms of the economic data that has been printed for the U.S. at the moment, then it would seem a little bit overkill. I certainly seem to think so, that if they were to cut by 50 basis points in July. But, of course, the risk that, we're talking about, that the market's talking about, are far beyond the immediate risks to that we can see in the U.S. data. They are geopolitical risks. They are about Iran. They are about China. And these are elements which you could say are well beyond the Fed's economic remit, which is, of course, to keep inflation stable and also to keep employment stable. So these are a bigger picture risk, which, of course, over the longer term will feed into the U.S. data. But right now, is it really the job of the Fed to cut interest rates by 50 basis points because the market is concerned by what may or may not happen with respect to Iran or China?
Would those risks be obviated if we saw something of a trade deal between the U.S. and China to come out of this meeting? We just heard from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin speaking to CNBC saying he's 90% done with a deal.
Well, certainly the market is anticipating that there will be something positive, even if it's just a confirmation of the next meeting. But I think if we look at a lot of the rhetoric that's really coming out around about the relationship between the U.S. and China now, and this is on both sides, this is both from Democrats and Republicans, there is a lot more suspicion generally in terms of China. And I think the word containment seems to come up a lot more now. So this potentially what we're looking at is a trade war, which is more than just about tariffs on various products. This is potentially about the U.S. suspicion of China's Belt and Road Initiative, about China increasing its trading avenues, of China increasing its military might. So in those terms, it's quite likely that the relationships between China and the U.S. will remain strained on some front well beyond this weekend.
Only about 30 seconds or so left. Could we see a currency war coming out of this?
Well, it depends really how what you term to be a currency war, but certainly in an environment where all central banks want to prop up inflation and they're cutting interest rates in some form or other, yes, that exists. But, of course, they will try and push back from that and say it doesn't exist.
Jane Foley, head of FX at Rabobank. Again, thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to watch a risk on sentiment playing out in the markets this morning. European indices now green across the screen. They had been lower just a few minutes ago, but now just about all the European indexes are moving higher. The DAX in Germany now up 0.6%, the CAC in Paris up 0.2%. As far as U.S. equity futures, they are moving much higher. The S&P up nearly 0.5% now, up 14 points. Dow futures up 108 points. And NASDAQ futures up 55 points. That's a gain of 0.7%. Stay with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Straight ahead, a multinational crackdown on insider trading, plus all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. Thanks for listening. This is Bloomberg. And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have teamed up for TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are gaining after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told CNBC a U.S.-China trade agreement is about 90% complete. At the same time, he's declining to say whether he's certain a deal will happen.
Well, in the meantime, Bloomberg News has learned the White House is willing to suspend the next round of tariffs on Chinese imports while the U.S. and China prepare to resume trade negotiations. The decision could be announced after the meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi on Saturday.
U.S. technology companies have resumed selling certain products to Huawei Technologies after concluding there are legal ways to work with the Chinese telecom company despite its inclusion on a White House blacklist. Micron Technology started shipping some components to Huawei, and sources tell us Intel has also begun selling to the company.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and St. Louis President Jim Bullard are both making cases for a rate cut, but Bullard says any more than a 25 basis point reduction would be too much. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio.
Just sitting here today, I think 50 basis points would be overdone. I don't think the situation really calls for that, but I would be willing to go 25. Sitting here today, I hate to prejudge meetings. You know, things can change by the time you get there. But if I was going today, that's what I would do.
The Treasuries and stocks fell after those remarks from Bullard yesterday.
Oil trading near a four-week high after a report signaling a bigger-than-forecast drop in U.S. stockpiles. The next catalyst comes at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time when the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly inventory report. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers has more.
The API reported a 7.55 million barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles. That would be the largest drop in supply since March, if EIA data confirms it. It looks like demand is picking up as we move further into the summer driving season, and the big focus will be on whether we see refinery operating rates continue to increase. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. And on the legal front, U.S. prosecutors are joining a multinational crackdown on insider trading, sources tell Bloomberg. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York is probing a group of stock pickers in Europe and the Middle East who've made tens of millions of dollars trading ahead of media reports on takeover talks.
S&P futures up 15 points right now, Dow futures up 120, and NASDAQ futures up 63. DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 2.02%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.75%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:33 on Wall Street now, Karen. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in public before two House committees on July 17th. He will definitely restart the national debate over his findings on Russia election interference and possible obstruction of justice by President Trump. Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler says he expects full cooperation from Mueller when he testifies.
The White House might assert some privilege, but when they revealed this, a lot of the information to Mueller and even to private attorneys, they waived the privilege. So I think he'll answer the questions that are put to him because it's his civic duty to do so, and he's an upstanding prosecutor.
President Trump simply tweeted, "Presidential harassment." The House passed a $4.5 billion emergency spending bill to address the humanitarian needs of migrants at the southern border. Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke before the vote.
I'm very proud of our members. So much work has gone into it to have a back and forth so we have the strongest possible bill. But again, it's not an immigration bill. It is an appropriations bill to meet the needs of the children.
The 230-195 vote was basically along party lines. 10 Democrats debate tonight in Miami, the first debate of the 2020 presidential election season. 10 other Democrats will debate tomorrow night. An American drone shot down last week was found 4 miles inside Iranian territorial waters. That's according to the semi-official TASDM news agency, citing an official. Meanwhile, amid escalating threats of war, a reporter asked President Trump this in the Oval Office.
Do you have an exit strategy for Iran if war does break out?
You're not going to need an exit strategy. I don't need exit strategies.
It comes after a furious back and forth between Washington and Tehran, with Iran rejecting any talks with the U.S. Queens will have a new district attorney for the first time in decades. Public defender Tiffany Caban declared victory over borough president Melinda Katz in the Democratic primary. Caban, backed by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, received 39.6% of the vote to 38.3%. However, paper ballots are still being counted. Farrah Lewis won the Democratic primary for the 45th District in Brooklyn. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street now. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, hardly a surprise. The Yankees hitting a lot of home runs. They belted 267 last season, a major league record. And last night, in a 4-3 win over Toronto, they hit 4 all-solo shots, including DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge, back-to-back to start the game. And with LeMahieu's leadoff homer, Aaron Boone's team broke a major league record. 28 consecutive games with at least one round tripper.
It's impressive to me. You know, it's a tribute to having a lot of really good hitters and guys that can hit for power. I think they kind of protect each other. And you know, when you look at our lineup, it's really tough for the opponent to have to navigate through. And I think they all benefit from each guy being a really good hitter and making the pitcher work really hard.
51 home runs hit in the 28 games by 15 different players. What is surprising, the Yanks have done all this without their top two sluggers, who are both now back from injury. And the night after Giancarlo Stanton hit his first of the season, Judge got his sixth. But now Stanton is injured again. Bruised knee, stayed in the game, then came out. 11 MRI today. Yanks going for a sweep this afternoon with James Paxton on the mound. Chad Green started last night, pitched one inning. Nestor Cortez, then the next four. They've yet to lose using that opener formula. Tampa Bay lost. Yankees lead the AL East by 6. The Mets, 6 under 500. Had a 5-2 lead in Philadelphia and lost 7-5. Phils with 5 in the 6th. Wilmer Font took the loss in relief. Plenty of NBA rumors. Free agency coming. Jimmy Butler linked to the Rockets. There's a report the Nets now favored to land Kevin Durant. His Warriors teammate Andre Iguodala said, sorry, Knicks. KD's not coming. Durant's got a leg injury. Unlikely to play at all next season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 now on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on Pride Month and protections for LGBTQ workers. Also in this week's issue, why Silicon Valley is hiring neuroscientists to study birds, fish, and mice. Max Chafkin contributed to that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
This story has one of the most memorable leads that I've ever read. It involves a little mouse sitting in front of a screen with a tiny mouse-sized joystick.
All right. You can read more about that and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey plans to raise tolls at its bridges and tunnels and hike fares on its PATH rail service and on trains to JFK and Newark International. It'll also seek a $4 surcharge on app-based car services and taxis when they pick up fares at New York area airports. New York City's regulated rents will increase only 1.5% for one-year renewals, giving tenants another victory after lawmakers recently revised rent rules in their favor. Rents for two-year leases will go up 2.5%. The Rent Guidelines Board also approved a rent freeze for single-occupancy units. Facebook is in talks to rent office space in one of those flashy new skyscrapers under construction at the Hudson Yards development on Manhattan's far west side. Sources tell Bloomberg the social media giant is closing in on a deal to lease at least 1 million square feet at 50 Hudson Yards. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team to get some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're talking about the head of the St. Louis Fed Bank saying he turned down a possible spot on the Fed Board of Governors.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. FedEx predicting a transition year for fiscal 2020 with an improving outlook for e-commerce profits.
I'm Anna Edwards. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we're reporting on UK transport operator Stagecoach scaling back its involvement in railways.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from General Mills.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla could be on the verge of setting a quarterly record for vehicle deliveries.
And also on the earnings front today, Rite Aid, the drugstore chain, reports results after the close of U.S. trading. We get a preview of that right now from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The retail landscape remains challenging, and Bloomberg Intelligence says Rite Aid's ability to execute is still in question. The pharmacy business is the main reason for a projected decline in earnings. The chain's same-store sales have steadied, but reimbursement rates will continue to pressure profits. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures up nearly 0.5%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, the dissenters' case for a rate cut. We have more from our exclusive interview with St. Louis Federal Reserve President James Bullard. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures turned higher with S&P futures up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 123 and NASDAQ futures up 61. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nd. Yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year 1.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.06 at $58.89 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.6% at $14.1040 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats say Special Counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in public on July 17th about his 2-year investigation into Russian election interference and the Trump campaign. President Trump lost a bid to halt a lawsuit brought by congressional Democrats who want a Washington federal court to require that the president seek approval from lawmakers before he accepts any financial benefits from foreign governments. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays and set a major league record with 28 straight games with a home run. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Giants, and A's. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Stocks in Asia followed Wall Street lower overnight after remarks from Fed officials. Chairman Jerome Powell and St. Louis President Jim Bullard both made cases for a rate cut, but Bullard said any more than a 25 basis point reduction could be too much. Bullard spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Let's listen to some of that conversation now.
Inflation's running below target, which is surprising given that the economy has surprised to the upside over the last 2 years. Really, growth has been higher than most people had expected. Labor markets have been very strong, unemployment at a 50-year low, and still we're looking at inflation running below target by our preferred measure, inflation expectations deteriorating, growth still okay looking backward, but looking forward looks like a slowdown with some downside risk. You've got an inverted yield curve. Seemed to me like this was a good chance to make us insurance rate cut and try to recenter inflation and inflation expectations back at the 2% target.
In the immediate term, though, I think a lot of people saying, well, gosh, you got a meeting at the end of July. You've got the G20 meeting this weekend in Osaka, President Trump, President Xi are going to be sitting down and talking. Could you have just waited, see what happens there? What if there's a big positive surprise, and would that have changed your view? Would it have been a little more prudent maybe to say, we'll just wait? You could make the point, but not really dissent and say you have to go now.
Well, I think the idea of recentering inflation and inflation expectations is not all that dependent on what happens in Osaka. Most are downplaying what's going to come out of that anyway. I think the U.S. and China are embroiled for the long term here in trade disputes. I don't think you should look to any one event as you know, putting an end to this. I think it's going to be an ongoing uncertainty. You could even say a regime of high uncertainty about future trade arrangements, because the two parties are disputing how the trade arrangements should be arranged over the long term. So with inflation running low and inflation expectations running low, the economy is looking to slow down and possibly slow down more sharply than we thought, it seems like you better get inflation back up to target while you can. So that's why I thought we should cut here. Also, by not cutting, I love my fellow committee members, but by not cutting, now we're putting high probability on the July meeting. Generally speaking, I don't like that as a tactic. Say that we're not going to do something this time, but don't worry, we'll go next time. I don't like that as a tactic. I say if you think the conditions are right today, you should go today. That's one of the reasons I dissented.
Why don't you like the tactic in particular? Do you like an element of
because
surprise?
Because you're putting really high probability on the next meeting. You're saying not now, but maybe next time, but not maybe next time. So it's very unclear what kinds of data the committee would be expecting to get during the intermeeting period that would lead the decision to go one way or the other. So,
well, in fact, a lot of people are talking.
Although I grant that a lot of people are waiting for G20. So,
a lot of people now are the talk of a 50 basis point cut is all the louder now, and at the July meeting, are you on board with that?
Just sitting here today, I think 50 basis points would be overdone. I don't think the situation really calls for that, but I would be willing to go 25. Sitting here today, I hate to prejudge meetings. You know, things can change by the time you get there. But if I was just going today, that's what I would do.
You are pretty much a fan of sticking to the 2% inflation target, even though it has barely been met since it was put in place in 2012. Even though the Japanese are a long way from theirs, they've got more growth with all of their stimulus, and even though the ECB hasn't met their target, when will central bankers start thinking, you know, we adopted the 2% target at the wrong time. It was good to help bring inflation down. But when we're trying to boost inflation, inflation targets have very little impact.
Yeah, well, Chair Paul has said that we're going to keep the 2% target, so that's not part of the framework review. I would have to say that inflation targeting in the big picture, inflation targeting has been crazy successful beyond our wildest dreams, because you had this earlier era, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, high and volatile inflation, number one political issue, toppled the president, brought Ronald Reagan into office. All these things happened. But by putting stating an inflation target is a way to put management attention on the problem and to assign responsibility to the central bank. And just doing that helped tremendously around the world, not just in the U.S. Inflation rates came down. They've been much more stable. Inflation expectations have been much more stable. So it's all good. It's all a better world. But now the question is, can we tweak this a little bit further and get even better policy going forward? And there are some ideas about this, and you've got this zero bound problem lurking out there. We just spent years and years at the zero bound. Other economies seem to be stuck there. So those are the ideas that are there. But I think in the big picture, the inflation targeting approach has been just tremendously successful.
St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Treasuries and U.S. stocks fell after Bullard played down the need for a 50 basis point cut. This morning, futures are near session highs after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told CNBC a trade deal with China is 90% complete. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The EPA is reversing a 24-year-old air policy that would allow power plants, refineries, and other industrial sources to avoid stringent controls for toxic air pollution. Illinois Democrat Senator Richard Durbin and other lawmakers renewed their call to revise the nation's bankruptcy laws to allow student debtors, military veterans, and other consumers to seek greater protection. And a 30,000-cow dairy farm in Oregon has received approval to send methane captured from its manure treatment process to California through an interstate natural gas pipeline.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now, another legal news that we're watching this morning. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn replacing his longtime criminal defense attorneys with the politically provocative Sidney Powell. It's a move that may be aimed at winning a pardon from his old boss, President Trump. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Jeffrey Kramer, a former federal prosecutor and managing director at Berkeley Research Group.
So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about Sidney Powell.
She's a former federal prosecutor, has been in a couple jurisdictions, has done a fair amount of federal criminal appellate work. So she certainly knows the system and is quite familiar with courtroom tactics and is an experienced litigator by all definitions.
There's been no statement on the court record of why Flynn is changing attorneys. So there's been a lot of speculation about why he's changing attorneys.
Right. And, you know, his prior attorneys certainly knew the lay of the land in these types of cases and certainly high-profile cases. It was a D.C. law firm that has certainly been around the block. Flynn's already pled guilty, and the judge, just to make sure, kind of reaffirmed that colloquy, that information that Flynn gave, that indeed he was guilty. So it's going to be hard or impossible for Flynn to withdraw his guilty plea. So at this point, you have to ask yourself, why change horses in midstream? Why bring on a new attorney? And that just leads to either a sentencing argument and or, you know, a message being sent to the White House for a possible pardon. Those are really the only two options.
At the news of Flynn's hiring Powell, President Trump tweeted this. General Michael Flynn, the 33-year war hero who has served with distinction, has not retained a good lawyer. He has retained a great lawyer, Sidney Powell. Best wishes and good luck to them both.
You know, that's got to be one of the, you know, I hate to say it's one of the stranger tweets. I think that horse has already left the gate. But it's certainly an odd one for the president or any executive branch employee, which is charged, again, with prosecuting crimes.
And that's Jeffrey Kramer, a former federal prosecutor and managing director at Berkeley Research Group, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 50. 15 points. Dow futures up 117. NASDAQ futures up 60. 10-year Treasury down 12 32nd. Yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year 1.76%. And NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.04 to $58.87 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.